The reading comes from Matthew chapter 9, verse 34. But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Excellent. Well, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your words. Thank you for the life that we find within it. Thank you for the truth that is there. Thank you for the ways you use your word to inspire us, teach us, to challenge us and change us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Life-giving Spirit of God, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And we pray this morning that word and spirit would be united together for your praise and glory. Amen. When you look at the life, when you look at the life of Jesus, what you see in how he prays is that when he prays, he rarely, if ever, prays a prayer that he's not willing to be the answer to himself. When he prays, he's asking God to do things, but to work with him in those things, to step out into those things and to be partnering with God in them. When you see the Lord's Prayer, Jesus doesn't pray "Thy kingdom come" without going and making kingdom come. He doesn't pray "Give us today our daily bread" without going and serving the needs of others. Jesus is always willing to be the answer to his own prayer. So when he says to his disciples, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers," he is asking the disciples, yes, to ask for God to do this, but also to ask themselves whether they are willing to step into that call.
There is a wonderful call on each and every one of us to not only pray for more workers, but to be those workers that God has invited to partner with him. And we need to ask ourselves, when we're asking this question of where is the harvest, what is the harvest, what does the harvest look like, we also need to be asking, what is my place within that harvest? Where is God calling me to be part of what he's doing to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? It may be the things that you're already doing. It may be things you've not yet done. It may be things that worked before, may not be working now, and God is leading us to new places and new things. But we are asking the Lord of the harvest, the one who knows you and knows what he is doing. In the context of Jesus asking for this prayer now, in this story, up until this point, the 12 apostles have been enough. They have been enough for Jesus. They were all he needed to begin what he was beginning. But as his kingdom began to advance more and more and more in the region, as more and more people began to ask questions, as more and more people began to know who Jesus was, as more and more people came to see the things that Jesus was doing, as more and more people began to grow in love with this idea of the kingdom, as more and more people were coming with their issues and problems and concerns, Jesus was needing more and more and more workers. The 12 would no longer be enough on their own. The kingdom was advancing, it was growing, and Jesus needed more laborers. We all, I hope, here this morning, want to see growth. We want to see the church grow and thrive. We want to see the kingdom advance in this village and in the villages in which we're called to live and serve. We want to see God's kingdom come in this nation. We want to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We all desire that growth. But are we prepared to understand that more growth means more labour? More growth means more work. A more greater need for more people to step up and step out to work for the kingdom. It's great to pray for revival, but praying for revival is not simply asking God to do your job for you. Praying for revival is asking the God who can only do certain things, the God who can do the things only God can do. Yes, we want to see God do that, but we're not asking God to do it for us, because he's already invited us to do it with him. He's already made that invitation. He's already invited us to join him in bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, he will build his church. It is his work to do the miracles that only he alone can do. Yes, he alone is the Lord of the harvest, which is why we ask him to send the workers rather than doing it ourselves. But his work is also shared with us. It is the story of the gospel that right in the beginning of Genesis, God's design and desire for humanity was partnership with him. That partnership was broken, and Jesus is restoring that partnership. Jesus is inviting us, every single one of us, without exception, from the youngest to the oldest, to join in with that mission. There is only one mission, and it's his. And he invites us to join with it. The mission is not something that the church does. The mission is what the church is. God chose to do this through his church. We don't know why. We may sometimes disagree with that decision. We may sometimes think, surely there's a better way. But God chose to do it this way. And I can say now that there is plenty of work to be done by his church. And it cannot rely on one or a few people. It is not the job of just those with a collar. It is the job of all of us to join in with bringing this harvest home. Every single one of us will be needed to make harvest sustainable. There are plenty of people outside of these walls who don't know Jesus. There are plenty of people hungry for truth. More than enough for all of us, desperately searching and seeking for what the kingdom brings to this world. And all the revivals of the past that we have seen come and go often have petered out because they've relied too heavily on one or two or a few people to sustain them. I remember in the Alpha Course and in his book, Nicky Gumbel uses this beautiful analogy of church, that sometimes church is like a football match. 22,000 people desperately in need of exercise, watching 22 people desperately in need of a rest. Sometimes that can be the case in the church. But the kingdom of God needs all of us. Jesus has invited all of us to be part of what he's doing. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are workers, and God honors those workers. God honors all of his children, but the harvest is so big, it needs all of us. And I believe where we're living in a time that harvest is growing and growing and growing. There is more and more hunger and thirst for truth, for justice, for hope, for peace, for joy, for all the things we know we have, for the good news of the kingdom of God. Imagine a single farmer on his own trying to bring in an entire harvest. It's physically not possible. He wouldn't be able to do it. He would burn out. He would fail in bringing in the harvest. And if the harvest of the kingdom is to be the size that God desires it to be, he needs every single one of us. Jesus isn't just saving people for the sake of eternity. He's saving people and inviting them to join in the establishing of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Every single one of us has that invitation. And we need to see the people around us, the people we love, the people we don't love. We need to see them through the eyes of compassion that Jesus looks on them as in this passage. That he sees these people lost without a shepherd, wandering in the wilderness, lost in darkness, struggling in pain, and he has compassion on them. And then he proclaims through word and deed the good news of the kingdom of God. We have good news, don't we? I hope we have good news. We have good news that this world needs. And I believe that as this harvest grows in West Weald and beyond, we are all going to be needed in that. This 3 months of sabbatical for me is not a time for you to step back and wait for me to come back. It is a time for you to step up and step out. Holy Spirit, come, just come. There is a call on my life in this season to rest. There is a call on your lives in this season to step up. To step up. To be counted, to be part of what God is doing. I really want to see revival come. I really do. Selfishly, I want God to wait to November. And I come back. But realistically, I want him to do it in spite of me. I'd rather come back in December and hear hundreds of stories of lives changed. I want to come back in December and baptize more people than I've ever baptized before. I want to come back in December and hear stories of people stepping out and doing things they've never done before and seeing God come through. As Francis Chan says, I want to live my life in such a way that if God doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. And looking around us now, this is lovely. It's great to see a church united. It's great to see people together, and it's great to see a church that's growing. But the danger with growth is it can come with complacency. We can think we're growing, we're doing fine, we're doing good, we're doing all the things that God has asked us to do. But for every one person sat here today, there's at least 100 who don't know Jesus out there. Don't come complacent. Don't let complacency set in. We are called to be part of what God is doing, and it is an absolute privilege. And the desire and design of this sabbatical for me is threefold. For one, to rest. It is important to rest. I remember the very first sermon series I did when I came here 10 years ago was on rest. It remains a priority to me. We believe in the God of the Sabbath. We believe in a God whose eternity is a Sabbath rest, and rest matters. So I am taking time to rest. I'm also taking time to reconnect with people I've lost touch with people I love, with people who have impacted my life and that I've really valued time with and have lost touch with. So reconnecting is really important. Obviously, reconnecting with God is absolutely paramount and fundamental. And then also time to renew and then re-envision as I begin to come back in December. That's what it is for me, and I'm grateful for it, and I know it's a privilege, and I know it's a wonderful gift. I am going to miss this kind of ministry. I'm going to miss this church and this family in the next 3 months. But what I'm looking forward to is coming back in December and hearing those stories. Because as I rest, the harvest is not resting. God is not on sabbatical. God is still at work, and he's still inviting you to join in with what he's doing in his kingdom. The invitation is there. Is the willingness there? Is the desire there? Is the hunger there to see his kingdom come? Not to pray, Lord, send revival so I don't have to do it. Lord, send revival, and when you do, where am I joining in? You know, my favorite prayer ever that I've been taught is, good morning, Holy Spirit, what shall we do today? Best prayer you can ever pray. Good morning, Holy Spirit, what shall we do today? Where is he inviting you to be part of what he's doing? Because let me tell you now, the harvest is definitely plentiful. And we need every single one of you to see that harvest come home. Sabbatical is a wonderful opportunity to see how redundant I've become. The role of every vicar is to make himself redundant. And if there's anything over these next 3 months that you're not able to do because I'm not here, they will become the focus of ministry in 2027. So they can get to a point where they don't need me. We are the church together. This is your church. Well, it's God's church, primarily. Your church, not mine. So what I'm saying to you as a congregation over this next 3 months is, do what you like. I trust you. I trust you because I know you love his church as much as I do. And I know you want to see his kingdom come as much as I do. And I know that he's making the same invitation to you as he makes to me. Join in. Join in with what I'm doing. What a wonderful privilege and opportunity it is that we get to partner with the God of the universe in establishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. There is plenty to be done. And we have very, very good news. Please don't keep it to yourself. Let's just wait a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for your call on our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for saving us. We thank you for rescuing us. We thank you for giving us good news. And Lord, we pray for the harvest. Lord, I don't think it's an accident that this season of sabbatical is happening during harvest. And I pray, God of the harvest, would you send the laborers? God, we don't want in this space for those who are already doing enough to feel guilty for not doing enough. We pray that we would each hear your voice and your call as to what it is that you are calling us to, how it is you're calling us to join in, where it is you're calling us to serve, who it is you're calling us to love, how it is you're calling us to share the good news with those around us. Lord, send the workers, but also send us. As that great song of the 90s goes, Lord, send revival, but start with me. Start with me. We're going to sing in response. I think, Lord, I give you my heart, is that what we said? Let's make this just a real heart's cry this morning. Lord, I give you my heart.